I remember one woman, the story is in one of my books. I prayed that woman out of unconsciousness back into life. Her kidneys were packing up. I prayed till they woke up. And I came to work one day, feeling very happy with myself. And the bed was empty. I still remember the soldier on duty that day. His name was Galadima. I said, Galadima. I shouted, Galadima. He said, yes, sir. I said, where is this woman? He said, dog, the husband came this morning and said that the traditional healer said, this woman have nursed for the last 1 week. Traditional healer is now saying, when she just recovering. And I shook my head. And I realized that the evil spirit is trying to kill her. Because I remember the prayer I prayed. I said, this is my hospital. This was in the 3rd Mechanized Battalion in Seti, where I served. I said, this is my hospital. You are not killing this woman here. And they said, no problem. We'll go and kill her at home. I remember that day I prayed hard. I prayed hard for her that night. Next morning I came, she had woken up. Her fever disappeared. That day I said, gosh, I just shook my head. I said, this woman is dead. I said, this woman is dead. Of course she died. See, spiritual warfare, that's the way they are. They play out on natural things. They play out in bad luck. You understand my point? You see somebody just run across road. One policeman or soldiers firing, maybe they do exercise somewhere. There was a day they brought a child to me. He was dead. Said I should come and conduct an autopsy and find out what killed the child. When they told the story, I said, this is a falling bullet. Some people don't know that falling bullets kill. I've had arguments with people. It kills. I said, this is a falling bullet. The boy just woke up at night, 11-year-old child, just grabbed his neck, shouted. He was bleeding from the neck. The doors were locked. There was no intruder, nothing. Later, they went and looked. For certain reasons, because the only way I could find the bullet was that they had to do an x-ray. So, you know, this is in Africa. You carry a dead body, enter x-ray center, everybody go vanish. So they didn't have where to go. But they went later on. The person who brought them came, said they went to the house and actually saw the hole in the ceiling from where it entered. It was around the time Air Force were doing some exercises in Enugu. That was many years ago. I said, look, that was a falling bullet. The point is that of all the places to land, it was in the neck of a boy sleeping in his bedroom at night. But long ago, I stopped believing in accidents. You'll be amazed. You will see where the spirits gathered. And they were pleading their case before the throne of God that they had the right to kill this boy. And God had no choice but to give them their go-ahead. And they will arrange. He said, God himself said, who will entice Ahab to go to Ramoth Gilead that he might fall there? And Ahab died by an accidentally fired arrow that was fired at nobody in particular. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was accidental. No, the guy who killed Ahab till today is not aware he did it. He just fired at random. That's what the Bible says. Just fired, boom, at random. And of all the points to hit in the armor that this man was wearing, it was just the gap between the shoulder plate and the body armor. What am I saying? When angels fight, even though you see them physically, their fight doesn't always manifest like guru-guru. You know that's why guru-guru. Don't disturb everything around because they are fighting. They fight all kinds of fight for people. I remember that story in that Angels on Assignment. If you can get that book, read it. And the man said, the angels, he said they were looking ferocious. And they said, we have come to do warfare for your finances. Are you getting what I'm saying? I just wanted to emphasize that to us. Spiritual realms, they are real. They are real. They are what? They are real. They are real. Many of the things that have escaped you narrowly is not by chance. It's the angels of God, as the Lord told, nothing must harm him. And the Bible said they hearken to the voice of his word. The books you should read, just to excite you, is very nice. Just in a fiction, but it's nice. Frank Peretti, Piercing the Darkness and This Present Darkness. Read those two books. You will love them. Because they told two stories. They show you the physical story, all right? And then you see the spiritual story. You see angels literally fighting to protect somebody. But naturally on the face, the first load just got lucky. There's a story. I think I told here, I don't know what I told here, but I heard it recently. A woman that was kidnapped. Did I tell the story? In Abuja. That is a story here. The husband carried the matter to church, and they began to pray. And then one day his phone rang. I don't know which day, maybe like 2 days later or the following day, his phone rang, and it was his wife. Just called him and said, "Listen, I have escaped. I'm hiding somewhere." The kidnappers were so, it was angelic. They were negotiating, "Go and bring 5 million." The man said, "Let me give you 500,000. Meanwhile, the people were praying. Then we said, well, that day the woman heard noise. Diggy, 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 diggy. Because they locked her in the toilet. She's a very nice, docile woman. They locked her in the toilet. She needs anything, she will knock on the door. They will open the door. "What do you want?" "I want water." That's what she was drinking. So she heard noise. After a while, the noise vanished. Then she opened the door and didn't see anybody. Let me make the long story very short. She stayed for a while, then she decided to go and look again. Didn't see anybody. Checked, they kept her in a flat. The front door was open. She came out. The compound, the gate to the compound was open. There was nobody. That's when she escaped onto the street and then kept on going. She found a house where she knocked. People opened the door. She went out the place, begged for a phone, called her husband. And that one called police, and police said, "Don't say anything to them. Let them keep negotiating." So they agreed to go and pay money. Anyway, they grabbed the boys. This is the point. They did not even know the woman was gone. What happened? They said the boys went to go and kidnap somebody else. Unfortunately, this one was a troublemaker, a young man. So he scattered, he turned it into fight. And the Holy Spirit, the angels of God, gave him the upper hand. Are you getting my point? And he ran. And foolishly, all of them pursued him, leaving all the doors open. That is, they all pursued one person and left the door, all the doors open. So that the woman came out, was wondering. It was like after the angel left Peter. Peter suddenly found himself outside. What's going on here? Anybody that heard that story understood that it was the power of God. I'm describing how angels work. They didn't come there and say, "Hey, we'll beg this chair." The house begins shake. Shuku, 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 shuku. Be released. Be released. It's possible that one happened to Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, they prayed. They sang. And the Holy Ghost came down. And then everywhere shook. But funny enough, Paul and Silas didn't run. They just relaxed. They just chill for there. Now, what am I saying? In this woman's case, it didn't happen like that. It came in a totally different dimension, and she escaped. It was not an accident. It was not an accident. What am I saying? You are not alone. The Bible says that as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. And the angel, that's the word, angel of the Lord, encamps around those that fear him, and delivers them. You will be constantly delivered in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The time you cross the road and they didn't knock you down so as to kill you was not an accident. They wanted to. They wanted to. The evil spirits wanted to. They just couldn't. Listen, any good that came to you in life that you have preserved till today is not because the devil is tired. It's because he can't. I don't know if you got my point. I mean, why risk it? You may just prosper. He will just kill you on time. So if he didn't kill you, he couldn't. I mean, if he could, he would have. After all, you're not a sinner. You're not working for him. It's the sinners he doesn't want to kill. Unless the guy is tempting to repent. You'll break his neck. Boom! You ain't working for him. And he's letting you go. You know why? He can't. He can't. It sounds funny when I tell him, I say it, but it's actually true. I said, "God, ask Satan, have you considered my servant Job?" "Yeah, I tried once. It was not funny." The hedge was not a roco tree. I hope you know that. So you built a hedge around him. It wasn't barbed wire. You think it's barbed wire? Apostle Benga said, no, Mr. Lau first said that, you say, "Who's Mr. Lau?" "Don't worry. It was my wife's boss. came to our house once and was praying that God should protect this house with the strong, strong angels. I said, amen. I agree with you. They are strong angels. And Apostle Benga said, finish laughing before I tell you what he said. Apostle Benga said that he's not protected by nice angels. That the angels around him smoke a bowl. Those ones are on drugs. Their eyes always red. And if you go and read the Bible, it's not too far from the truth. You say, what do I mean? Well, God said, there's one angel I'm going to send with you. This one, don't offend him. That the concept of mercy is not with him. Is that not what God told Moses? Moses said, I'm not going there. Come on, risky venture is that. You go and send somebody with us who doesn't understand, I'm sorry. So you see, Apostle Baker is not too far from the truth. Are you getting what I'm saying? There was something Ken Hagin said. Let me add this before I go. Ken Hagin said in his book that once the Lord appeared to him in a vision and he saw one angel. There was one guy, he looked like a guy, you know, standing behind the Lord. And anytime he looks in that guy's direction, the guy will open his mouth as if he wants to say something. Then he will look away, then the guy will keep quiet. And the Lord will be telling him things. Then he will look in that guy's direction, the guy will open his mouth again. Then he will look away, then the guy will keep quiet. After a while, he told the Lord, he said, who's that fellow? Go and buy the book. I mean, you should read, not keep on begging you to read. There are things I've mentioned again. By now, you should have read. You should own your own copy. This is I Believe in Visions, all right? Go and buy it. He said that. He asked, what's that guy? Who's that guy? And the Lord said that he's your angel. He said, what? He said, your angel, your own, personal, you know, like your own. So he told the Lord that he has a message for you from the throne of God. Well, let me not go into details of the ignorant things he began to say before the Lord corrected him, all right? But the point is that, said the Lord told him that, did you not read that I said that, the little ones, that the angels stand before the Father. How does it go? You know that quotation? Yes, that they are angels, stand before the Father every day, and they behold his face or something like that. And that there was nowhere the Bible said that when you grow up, you lose it. That just the fact that you have grown doesn't mean you've lost your angel. That the Lord, they only described something that they do while you are small. That actually everybody has an angel. Are you getting what I'm saying? What am I saying? Why am I saying all of this? I want you to understand that, you see, I was saying at the beginning when I was trying to put these things together, that people use the word impossible because of what they don't understand. And I'm showing you some of the dynamics of divine arrangement. All right? That it has angels walking around with you. Some of them, they teach. They teach. They explain things. Go and read Revelations. They used to tell, you know, they call John, come and see something. They will show John something. So this is what it means. Are you getting my point? Angels will appear to Daniel. Say, I've been sent to give you understanding. Are you getting my point? I'm not going to explain something to you. You are not alone. You are not. You have ministering spirits around you. And that's why what some people call impossible for you, they are not impossible. I'm down to it again. For example, if you're a businessman. There are times they will tap you because the Lord has sent them to tell you that, you see, over the next few years, this is a line of business that won't work anymore and will begin to work, or will begin to work. And those things will come to you as ideas. And they wake you up with you. They wake you up with it every morning. Be careful. When a thought comes to your mind like that every morning, before the activities of the day overwhelm you, because some of the reason why we're not sent to spiritual things is because we are overwhelmed with daily activities. The Bible, Jesus said like this, he said, be careful that you are not overwhelmed, that your soul is not, how does he say it again? That is over, what's the word? Give me the word. By the cares of this world, that's what he was trying to explain. All right? That is not, they don't dull your sensitivity. So sometimes as you are waking up, as you say, Father, I thank you for the day, the thought comes to you again. Note it. It may just be a direction that you have been given. Are you getting the point I'm making?
Yes,
that's why for you, what everybody calls impossible is not, it's not impossible, all right? And why it's not impossible is because it's actually reasonable. It's reasonable. Why it appears impossible is that some people don't understand that there's a realm, do you understand, beyond this level. If they are alone physically, think they are actually alone. But you know you are not alone. You are getting what I'm saying? You know that you are not what?
Alone.
And there are ministering spirits all around you. And when they begin to do their warfare, like I said, it manifests in different ways. Let's just read that scripture. I said we should read them. We'll just, when we use the opportunity to give the Lord thanks, and then we'll just leave it there. That's 2 Kings chapter 7. You know the story. There was famine in Samaria because Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, had besieged it, built a siege around it. And things were so costly. All kinds of crazy things were going on in the city. You read in verse 6, in chapter 6. Then, in verse 1 of chapter 7, as the king came to see Elisha, Elisha said, "Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And the royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, something just struck me here. The Bible did not say he answered Elisha. He said he answered who? He answered who? He answered who? He didn't say he answered Elisha. Though we know it was Elisha. But the man having uttered the word of God, he was no longer Elisha, he was the man of God. That is, when this man was challenging him, he was challenging God. He was challenging somebody who was speaking the word of God. It just struck me now. What did he say to God? "Behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" Then the man of God answered him. He said, "Behold, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it." I say all the time, be careful when you are disagreeing with God. If you are not sure, go and pray. What did I say? If you are not sure, go and pray. This guy should have just simply knelt down and said, "Lord, this man says he's speaking for you. Did you really send him? I've never heard of things like that before." As long as you direct those questions towards God, there's no problem. That was what Mary did. Mary did not scorn. She asked a similar question, but with a very different spirit. How shall this thing be? Her own attitude was very different. It was submissive. It was inquisitive. She was asking, "I don't understand this. Help my unbelief." And the angel again delivered the word from God to her, explaining the dynamics of God's operations. But this one said, "You know this kind of thing? In my place, I don't know how they do it here in Enugu. In my place, they will say, 'Dima yimu.' The person go talk, you go do it like this. As you turn your head like this, man go turn your head." That was what this guy did. He just yimu for the prophet. And Elijah said, "Me? Okay. You will see, it's not me that spoke, it's the word of God that spoke. And that your imu that you kept up there is not going to come down again." How did the angels of God execute this? The Bible says something very simple. Because you know the story, so I'm not going to go into it. From verses 3 to 4, you see that these 4 lepers moved because of simple reasoning, all right, which they were incited to reason by the Spirit of God walking through some angels, I believe. In verse 5, he said, they moved towards the camp, all right, of the Arameans. Verse 5 says, "And they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. When they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there." See the operation of the angels in verse 6. "For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and of horses. even the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and fled for their life. When these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered one tent and ate and drank and all of that. Now, what I just want to bring out is how God executed the word that was impossible. You know, obviously, it had to be divine arrangement. Noise has different interpretations. Why did they decide it was the king of the Egyptians and the Hittites? They didn't see anybody. Are you getting my point? I said that, look, when God's angels start walking, there are different ways they manifest. Sometimes they cause confusion amongst friends. Don't be afraid. When people gather against you, they go soon fight. If you see bosom friends quarreling, just ask yourself, who are they gathered against? Listen, don't be, people say, they are strong, they are strong. Don't worry. They will soon fight. Tower of Babel will soon be built in their sitting room. They'll start speaking languages they themselves don't understand. It's a manifestation of the working of God. It's a spiritual thing. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? When God poured his spirit out here, and the angels are ministering spirits, that's what the Bible said. What happened? They just scared people. You know, you can imagine the angel just went to each soldier. They just scared the guy. He said, "What was that?" He said, "Hittite, Hittite, ah, Hittite." That one says, "It's not Hittite, it's Egyptian." He said, "Whichever one, let's go." What was impossible became what? Possible. You're getting the point. I just read that to illustrate how these things work, all right? Let's read this one just to familiarize ourselves again. Joshua chapter 6, the story of Jericho. Again, you know the story. This one will interest you. Because I read some things about it quite some time ago. Again, we're not reading it in details. We just want to get how they conquered the city. You know how two spies went in and Rahab kept them and they gave the promise to Rahab concerning how she'll be delivered when the Lord will hand the city over to the Israelites. And Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. Verse 2 says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand with his king and valiant warriors.'" This is how you will take the city. He gave him some strategies. And then he said, verse 5, "And it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up every man straight ahead." Every man how?
Straight ahead.
Was this fulfilled? Yes, exactly. If you go down to verse, to the section that began around verse 15, "Then it came about on the seventh day that they rose early in the dawning, at the dawning of the day, and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. Only on that day they marched around the city seven times. And it came about at the seventh time, this priest blew. Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city shall be under the banner,'" and given those instructions. And then, please, I want to just jump because of that. Okay, go to verse 20. "So the people shouted, and the priest blew the trumpets. And it came about, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city." Let's just stop here. Story here, if you read biblical commentaries, is that the wall of Jericho, and that's how walls were built those days, all right? They were not fences. You know, our fence these days is just one block thick. To walk on it, you have to be what do you call those people that... Is there acrobat? You have to be an acrobat, a circus professional. Very narrow. But it wasn't like that those days. There are walls those days. In fact, my wife went to, she followed them to China once. and she brought pictures from the top of the wall, the Great Wall of China. You see, I mean, it's quite thick, all right? In fact, they said that the Wall of Jericho, I can't remember for sure, but I think it could take like, is it 3 or 6 chariots side by side, all right? Now, the chariots were not as big as cars, all right? They were just, most chariots could take only 1 or 2 people, but at least they were wide enough, you know, like a keke napep. You understand? Huh? Imagine 4 or 5 keke napeps side by side. That's the thickness of the wall. That was the thickness of the Wall of Jericho. Why am I analyzing this? Because if that kind of wall fell down flat, you can't go straight ahead of you. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's thick. If it fell, cracked, tumbled with all the rubbles everywhere, how is each man going to go ahead of you? Read that book again, Angels on Assignment. That was the first place I got this insight. The man said that an angel explained to him, and I'm talking about the power of God manifesting through these ministering spirits, that before the trumpet and the sound, the angels lined the wall on top, and they got ready to shove it into the ground. And when the trumpet sounded and the people shouted, one angel gave the command, and the whichever way they split the area where Rahab was, and pushed the rest of the wall straight into the ground. So one moment, the children of Israel, the wall, and then Jericho. The next moment, after they shout, children of Israel, no wall, Jericho was plain ground right in front of them. You know, I said, but the Bible says flat. Go and read E.W. Bollinger's Companion Bible. It was first person now. It wasn't relating to that book. I just happened to have it and I was studying. And the literal Hebrew said the wall went down under itself. The literal Hebrew translated of that scripture is, and the wall went down under itself. It was written as fell down flat because they're trying to communicate. You know, these are translations, trying to bring the sense to you. So in the mind of the translators, that's what makes sense. It fell down flat. But how did it go? Literally, the Hebrew man said, and the wall of Jericho went down under itself. And I remembered what Buck said in that book, Angels on Assignment. Said the angels pushed it into the earth so that the wall didn't break. It did not fall. It just went down. It just sank like an elevator. Phew! Next thing, Jericho was without walls. There are some dangerous things that are preventing progress for you. Very soon, they shall be without walls. Don't let anybody threaten you. Tell him, sir, very soon you shall be without walls. Are you getting my point? That's how it works. I will just stop that one. The other one I wanted to read, just to let you know that the power of God is alive. The story of the sun standing still, which somebody challenged me about. If I told him simply, you don't believe in God. If God made the universe, he can make it stand still if he wants. If he can't, he doesn't own it. So for you to tell me it can't happen, you are telling me simply you don't believe he's in control. You don't believe that the heavens rule. You don't believe. You don't believe that he's the God of the heavens. When you say he's the God of, that means he controls the heavens. He can tell the sun not to shine. I'm one of those people that don't believe that. I know I'm not alone, except that, you know, human scientists, when they want to insult Christians, they say that they deny facts, not acknowledging the fact that there are no facts to support what they are saying. I'm one of those that don't believe that human activity is warming up the globe. I don't believe it. I'm sorry to say it like this. You know, the other day, we were reading about Leviathan, can't remember. And somebody said Leviathan is crocodile and all of that. And I read one commentary for you. And the man said that for somebody to say Leviathan was a crocodile is patently absurd. Because the way God described Leviathan to Job, the only thing that human beings have ever conceived that fitted that is a dinosaur. But because scientists tell us that they've been extinct for 50 million years, we can't even accept it. So we now say the only thing that makes sense is crocodile. God is not stupid. Job was not a fool. Are you getting my point? that God will be describing a crocodile with Job, threatening that can anybody go near? You have seen human beings go near crocodiles. Some of you carry bags made of crocodile skin. Is it a lie? So what are you telling me? And what I'm saying is, I want to use the same words, all right? For me, it's patently absurd for somebody to deliberately ignore what we already know, that the sun sometimes throws out flares. Do you understand my point? It just throws out stuff that can, it can fry this earth if God allows it to come closer by maybe another 100, by just 1 million miles. Why don't we even think about maybe those things shoot out once in a while, they are warming up the globe. Believe me, look, I've read it. I told you once a scientist who said something, that if everything they've been saying, stop burning fossil fuel, stop doing this, stop doing that, if all of us agreed and did it, we would drop the temperature of the earth by 1 degree Fahrenheit in 10 years. This is a scientist. Not me, not a pastor. A scientist having analyzed it. I said, no, but human beings will still stubbornly hold on to the fact that it's because you bought a car that has a very big engine that the earth is warming up. You know where I'm going? God said, now, I'm not saying it's not because of human beings, but it's not their human activity, that's their physical activities. God said, I shut up the heaven because of you. Are you getting my point? Go and read it. I close the heaven. God said to Solomon, when Solomon was praying, he said, when your people sin and then you close the heaven over them, it's God that closed the heaven, not human beings. You read the story of Sahara Desert. It was once a well-watered garden. Some people believe that the Garden of Eden is around that zone. I'm telling you, anyway, whatever. But when God blew upon it, it dried up. And you read in the scriptures that God dries up rivers. Some of the rivers we have today, they did not exist many years ago. God dried up one river and created another one. In fact, one time, Lion Car and I are driving, we get to that Oka area and we are looking at things. We Oka no nature. He would say, these were flood plains. He kept on telling, explaining. Well, he said, well, I said, why all this erosion? He said, these places were flood plains. That you take, how many thousands of years did he tell me before they compact properly? And anyway, that is, Oka used to be underwater. Now, what am I going to say? God controls this earth. Are you getting my point? If he says, sun, stand still, it will stand still. And the Bible said it had never happened before and it had not happened since that God should hearken to the voice of a man like that. Because the Bible said that it was God that hearkened unto the voice of Joshua and told the sun, stop, moon, stop. And records exist in different civilizations that there was a day that the sun refused to go down. They did not know about Joshua. They just recorded that one day something strange happened. We saw the sun shining and shining and shining and shining and shining. You get what I'm saying? Listen, there's nothing like impossible. There's nothing like impossible. I was telling some of us the other day about Babalola. Is he SK? What's his name now? Anyway, the man who started the Christ Apostolic Church. The day I heard one of his stories, said the man, you would tell him, supposed to minister in Onitsha by 7. At 6:30 in Enugu, he's still preaching. At 6:45, he will carry his Bible, close up, come out of the door here, and enter the next hall in Onitsha. You didn't hear what I said? He will just tell you, okay, so we'll see next time. And he walk out of the door. And before you call him, say, sir, something. He's not there again. He's entering the hall in Onitsha, and they are introducing him for the day. People will tell you it's impossible. Don't forget that scientists do things that are close to that. I hope you know that. If you know the speed, you know this aircraft that takes off, the spacecraft that leaves the Earth, or I describe it in my book, Acquire Life, Escape Velocity. They travel at 11 kilometers a second. 11 kilometers, how fast? In a second. That's the amount of speed they must generate to break out of the gravitational pull of the Earth. It's called the escape velocity. If you did physics, you must have learned that in secondary school physics. 11 kilometers in 1 second. That's why when you see those spacecraft, they are full of fuel. They start burning because they have to generate that amount of thrust. 11 kilometers in 1 second. That means you, from between here and Onitsha, will be 10 seconds less. If human beings can conceive it, God can double do it. That's escape velocity. If you know the speed with which they revolve around the globe, and a human being will sit inside the capsule. If human beings can conceive it, God can double do it. He did it to Philip. Finished baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch. Thank you, sir. The guy was in Azotus. There is nothing like impossible. There is nothing like impossible. When they said, you will have a child, Mary said, how can this thing be? Gabriel said, let me explain it to you. The power of God will overshadow you. If the power of God overshadows you, nothing is impossible. If the power of God overshadows you, nothing is impossible. If the power of God overshadows you, I said what? Nothing is impossible. Like I say all the time, get ready for it. What did I say? What did I say? Let's rise to our feet and give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I am ready for that power. Say, nothing is impossible. Begin to declare, say, Lord, nothing is impossible. In my life, nothing is impossible. I can do everything that you ordained me to do. I can do everything that you ordained me to do. In my life, nothing is impossible. In my life, nothing is impossible. The power of God is working on my behalf. It's called the grace of God. The angels of God are ministering to me. He said they are ministering spirits. They have been sent forth to minister to me. I'm a heir of salvation. I'm inheriting the salvation of God. The power of God is working on my behalf. In my life, nothing is impossible. 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 Because the Bible says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And they say, anyone who believes, nothing is impossible to the person who believes. I have preached this evening so that your heart will receive the power of God. And that you might believe that nothing is impossible. I said the angels of God are working on your behalf. The angels of God are working with you. You are not alone. When you walk in the dark, you are not alone. When you walk in the dark, they are not alone. You 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 are not alone. Well, you are not alone. I want you to be aware of it. The angels of God are with you. The Holy Spirit has commanded them. The Bible says they are mighty in strength and they hearken to the voice of His word. They hearken to the voice of His word. Anytime you declare the word of God, the angels of God are walking. They are walking. They are walking. They are mighty in strength. They excel in strength. Their strength is powerful. They are mightier than human weapons. 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 And the Bible said that they have been sent forth to minister on your behalf. They are ministering concerning your health. They are ministering concerning your finances. They are ministering concerning your ministry. They are ministering concerning your family. They are ministering concerning your life. They are ministering concerning everything that concerns you. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. We thank you. Say, Father, we thank you. May your name be praised. In Jesus' mighty name.